Welcome back, loves. Thank you for tuning in or streaming or downloading Blooming Out on WFHB 91.3 FM in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm Melanie Davis.
And I'm Justin Robertson.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Melanie. You brought me here under false pretenses.
What did I do?
You told me that Nikki 7 was going to be here.
Nikki 7.
And that we had guests. And the table is empty.
We have guests on the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is live radio. You know, you got.
I know. You got to roll with the punches.
Exactly.
But do I believe you? I don't know. I don't know if I trust you now.
We shall see.
Okay.
It's Nikki 7. Yay.
I was so sorry that I missed the show last week because I really wanted to see you, and I'm so thrilled that you're here today. And Melanie told me that you would be here, and so I came in just for you because I didn't want to see Mel.
Right.
But, you know, right?
Right?
See, Mel.
Actually, I'm just kidding because I did watch you on YouTube, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
Oh, geez.
You were
no, I'm not going to talk about my part of that. No,
you
is
are
the other parts.
You're not talking.
All of the mics are on and tested. You can talk into three mics at once if you'd like.
Wait, you're not going to talk about your part?
No, not my part. My part's not the interesting part. So, well, anyhow,
I disagree.
I don't disagree.
Oh. I don't know. You got me all verklempt. You're a superstar.
I am unanimous in this.
You're my Shiro.
Whatever. Anyway, so thank you for coming in again.
God, yes. You missed 30 seconds and it's like a day.
We're almost done with the show. And
darn it. Foiled again. Look at this. It's like Easter, the Easter bunny.
Yeah. Well, I brought some snacks and stuff to, you know, in case like after work, you're feeling a little
that's
like.
Lovely.
Isn't that
down.
So thoughtful?
Yeah,
thank you, really
Melanie. WFHB supplied the water. I mean, so if nice. You feel like that, but you brought your
Crackle
giant.
Crunch, just the thing to eat on the radio. Very good.
What?
I love it. It's all rainbow. Yay.
Yay.
Yes. That was very thoughtful.
And
how was your eclipse?
It's so thoughtful.
Oh, it was good. Yeah, I Wasn't completely stayed at home.
Yeah,
and
everybody
was,
did it.
So. Yeah, I think so. It was in 2017. Did a little, you know, bus ride to Kentucky and saw the totality there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and that was cool. Like, took the kid out of school, did the whole thing. And so the fact that it was coming to my yard and there was no bus to have to get on or pay for or any of that nonsense. Yeah, I was just going to take that opportunity and stay put. So it was great. It was amazing, right?
It really was. It was
yeah,
really amazing.
So very, very cool.
It was just like the last one, really. I mean, I was expecting something different.
Well, yeah. And
no, I'm
it's
just
like,
kidding. Justin's looking at me.
Well,
like,
for me, there's always just that little thought of like, well, you know, I mean, it could be the rapture.
I thought it was rapturous.
It was.
Were you wrapped?
I was wrapped.
Yeah. I was wrapped with tinfoil around my head.
Yes.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
I think that's smart. You should always be ready for anything.
Sure.
But I was a little creeped out because my dog was creeped out, you know, and I'm so in tune with him. I'm sort of like, what is he doing? And he was like crawling underneath the patio furniture and stuff.
Aww.
Yeah, I don't really know what was going on inside his head.
No kidding.
Because he wasn't looking at the sun, thank God. But, you know, he
right.
knew
you
something.
You didn't have
was
little doggy glasses.
Going on. Right, no.
They do make dog, like dog goggles.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I mean, and I say that because I make stuff up. No, I say that.
I know that's. I can never trust you or your sister, Courtney.
Exactly. Right?
I mean, I just like sat there and listened to her tell me this whole ream of BS before.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But for real, as I was sitting here just now listening to you, I was like, I got to come up with a story to make this legit. No, but really, I do have a story. When I used to live in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who rode a little motor scooter around, okay? Mm-hmm. And little motor scooter had a tiny sidecar for the dog, okay?
I want
and
that.
The dog had goggles.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that story.
So really, they do.
Yeah.
Now, do they make eclipse glasses for dogs? You know, I'm not sure about that. These were just regular, you know, goggles so that a little pebble wouldn't come up. And
pretty niche.
You know, yeah.
It's I think dogs are right? too smart to stare at the sun.
Yeah, no, all the other animals are.
Yeah, they just the wild don't do animals. That. Think about all the wild animals. I mean, if this were the case, wouldn't we?
We have a bunch of blind birds
and wild creatures. And for all I know, we do, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I have indoor cats. So, yeah, I was outside watching. So I don't know what was going on mm-hmm. with them. So that's really interesting to hear.
They were peeing.
You had the dog out with you.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting with the dog's reaction because, you know, how they talk about, early humans were just like, oh my gosh, the sun disappeared.
Sure.
And they freaked out.
It's all over.
And until the sun came back and then they're like, and so, you know, that kind of like basic response of, this isn't supposed to be happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's weird. Of that. And I think dogs have a really good sense of time and what things are supposed to be.
Yeah, they're perfect drummers.
I don't know about that, but my dog wakes me up.
Have I told you about the dog drummer I knew in Tucson?
No, come on.
He had a little sidecar.
He did.
And goggles.
Yeah.
No, but do tell.
No, I just made that up. But I feel so cool. Like, oh my God, gotcha. Because I told the one legitimate story.
Sing, you know, if you play the piano or whatever, he'd sing. He was even on television and stuff.
Who was that?
My beagle. Aww. Blackberry.
Aww.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
That's adorable.
Is this some BS on your own?
No, this is true. It's true. Now, you know, I say he was on television, yes. Back then you had
he
local
sat on
stations.
The television.
This wasn't like he was on NBC, okay?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Right. But
whatever. You had local shows and stuff.
That's
public access.
Yeah. Yes.
Beagle.
Yeah. Well,
adorable.
It was like Channel 4. Do you remember? Well, you're not from here.
Yeah, I remember Channel
4. Yeah, Channel 4.
I remember Sammy Terry.
Sammy Terry, Jamie, Cowboy Bob.
Yes.
You know?
All of that. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And somehow, some way, I might have seen your beagle.
Probably, maybe. I
mean, probably
yeah.
did.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably did, cousin.
Don't be telling people you've seen my baby.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more.
Yay. Good. Join the party. Look, there's a buffet. Oh, yes.
Of
awesome.
Crinkly, drinky stuff. So,
of Crackle Crunch.
Amazing.
We're here for part two of our roundtable discussion. Well, rectangular table discussion. So we have the crew together.
That's awesome.
Queers of the rectangle table.
I love that. I love that. I'm Justin, by the way.
Chris,
nice to meet you,
nice
Chris.
To meet you.
Thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks
Sorry
for
I missed
me.
It last week.
No, you are fine.
Did you get a chance to listen to the show?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You're going to shame me on live radio.
Shit. Well, shame. And not just live radio, but also podcasts and Apple Podcasts. Check us out.
So it'll live forever.
Shame.
Donna.
The echoes of shame. So, do you know if our other guest is going to be coming?
I believe Bryce should be here. I can give him one more text or text him earlier, but I know he's kind of been busy.
It's well, I mean, you know,
finals.
He's like he's doing anything important, right?
Right. Sure. none of us are.
So we got Nikki Seven and Chris back in the studio, and possibly waiting on Bryce Green.
Yeah.
Who you may have heard of. We'll let him introduce himself, but if you don't know him, you should. If you're on X, check him out, BryceGreene. And, he's got a good thing going there for truth in journalism. Is that an easy way to condense that?
Mm-hmm.
And, he kind of really breaks stuff down very well. So, I can't wait for him to get here. I guess we'll have to wait for him to get here, but we are waiting. but that's okay.
Twiddle our thumbs.
The man is busy, and he's the one that asked Kaya, well, both of them, you know, what is woke, right? That question.
Yes.
Oh, okay. He did. So there might be listeners out there, though, that don't know what you were talking about last week. or even a co-host.
Oh, yeah. So right. We had a radio show last week, and somebody wasn't here.
Yeah. And that's so disappointing.
It was. It was rather, rather like sad.
What was my excuse? I don't even remember what I was doing last week.
I don't either.
Okay.
It took two of us to try to take up your one place.
Well, of course.
You know.
But yeah. I'm sure you did it just fine.
But so, a couple of weeks ago now, has it been a month or just yesterday? I can't remember.
Pretty much almost a month now. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that time is just a tricky thing, isn't it?
But on the 1st of April.
On April Fool's Day.
Yes. A couple of April Fools came to town.
Yes. I noticed that.
Oh, I did not. I totally you, off my brain that it was even April Fool's Day. Wow, how apropos.
I know, right?
And my friend Shelly's birthday. So shout out Shelly. Happy birthday. Sorry.
Happy birthday, Shelly.
Yeah. in honor of Shelly, Kaya Rychek was brought to town on Jim Banks's anti-woke tour. And if you don't know who Jim Banks is, he's a politician from Indiana. He's the District 3, Indiana's District 3 congressional representative. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know where District 3 is, it's up in the extreme northeast corner of the state. Did you know he had a northeast corner of the state? Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, no. I work for Frank Mervan's often, so that kind of makes sense. Oh. I kind of know where all the districts are at, but it's forced learning, unfortunately.
Fancy, you know. But yeah, it's Fort Wayne. It's where Fort Wayne is. But it's also
shout out to New Haven. That was where I went to high school at for 3 years.
Oh,
And not lightly. New Haven's not the best.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. They'll pick it back up again, right?
Right. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
But they also had Pokagon State Park up there, which is really lovely. When during Christmas time, they've got a toboggan run that's got its own refrigeration system. So even if it's slightly above freezing, you can still go really fast and feel like you're going to die. So it's really fun for the kids.
Yeah, you're still not getting me on a toboggan. But thank you for that information.
You know what I thought you were going to say?
What?
You're still not getting me up there to see Jim Banks. I don't care what they have going on up there.
I don't care what
that guy's there. I ain't going.
It's true. True.
But why was he down here? That's my question, right? So that part of the state has 12% of roughly 10% of the population of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this little tucked away corner that has not much going on. The toboggan run is the most exciting part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's, you know, farm fields and Fort Wayne. And there are a couple highways that pass through it. And I assume there's like gas stations and stuff where you can get a drink. But but there you go. Cows, corn, and cars.
In Indiana,
yeah.
That's Indiana for you. But we're working on the same highway for at least about 20 years.
Right. And that's how we roll. Right? Yeah. I mean, didn't I-69 take, I don't know, 10, 15?
They should 100, get somebody.
I don't know. It just.
I don't either.
They should get somebody in the government who can take care of things like infrastructure and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, I wonder who that could be. Anyhow, so Jim is running for the Senate. He does not just want to be a representative anymore. That's not good enough for him. He's shooting for the Senate.
Mm.
Hopefully, not literally. And so he's gone around the state, I'm guessing, or just the, I don't know what his strategy is on this.
To be honest, I can kind of see already kind of what this is. I mean, it's a ploy, it's a strategy. This event was strategically made by students, some conservative students.
Mm-hmm.
And as the video kind of stated, earlier, was that they made this event private at first, and then it was RSVP only. And then once we as protesters came and who had already RSVP'd, it was, oh, we're no longer taking people who RSVP, but then let people go and between.
I had no idea that that was going on until Melanie, you stood up and you said that you RSVP'd. I'm like, what's that about? Mm-hmm. So thank you for that background.
Yeah. And to be honest, this is just a ploy for obviously his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, because he does not have the numbers. Mm-hmm. He needs to go around in each at least district and other districts to gain that support back, because obviously he does not get that support.
Right.
And if he gained that support, he wouldn't even come to Indiana University. He wouldn't need to be working with people like LibTalk and all the other horrendous groups out there in the world that push misinformation and everything in the subject line. So I think obviously it's a ploy. It's to gain students' very small understanding of the world and try to convince them that this is the hugest part of the world. This is what the world's supposed to be like. And so I think it's all indoctrination plans, you know?
Absolutely. Oh,
but we're too woke for that. We're too woke.
Indoctrination? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the liberals do?
Oh, the LGBTQ people do that, not the liberals.
What do they call you, the rainbow bullies?
Rainbow bullies, yeah. Yeah.
I sure am a bully. I would rather be a bully, and not literally, but I would rather be the person that sticks up for myself because of who I am as an individual, because I get the right as everybody else to be human. So if you judge me because of what I do on my spare time, first off, it's none of your business, not what I do. Second off, if my rights to be able to live is hindered because there's laws or policies out there, that's an issue for discussion.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well said.
And it's so strange to me, because when I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s, the conservatives were always all about, it's no business. It's not your business what I do. It's not the government's business. You know,
right.
They're really against the government being involved in their personal lives. And nothing could be more different now.
Right.
I mean, they care about what people are reading.
I don't really know that that's the truth, though. That is what they said, and that's what they continue to say. But that isn't, because, and we'll get into that in a little bit here, because I wanted to point out some of the stuff that he's been up to.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that I haven't seen is much media coverage of these events. I was looking to see if there was any coverage of any of the other appearances, because they made, what, 3 appearances that day?
I believe so. The biggest one was obviously the room that we were in.
That's sad.
That was the biggest
now,
one.
What were their so. What the other appearances? I am not
one familiar. Was up in Hamilton County where they love Nazis.
Oh,
and well, yeah, that was where Moms for Liberty's chapter up in Hamilton County had had the Hitler quote right on the front page of their newsletter. Wow. And the head of Moms for Liberty or whatever at a conference after that blew up nationally said, we support them. And I'm like, okay. Just go ahead and admit that, you know, you're all for it. But anyway, they started there in the heart of, Indiana Nazi country. And then they moved down to Bloomington, which, has its own contingent, right?
There's like a, I moved down here and I'm thinking I'm seeing like a slug trail.
Wow. Yeah.
Now to all the slugs out there, I am extremely sorry for offending you. Right.
Somebody get the salt.
It didn't seem like it was very well attended though.
I agreed. You know, we're talking about the showing there, and I'm thinking, I know they took a group picture. What do you think it was, 15 or 20?
Yeah, maybe.
15 or 20, if I may be so bold to say, of the uncoolest college kids.
Unbelievable, yeah.
I'm joking, funny. Like, you know,
I thought you were being serious.
And poorly dressed.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying, okay? It's just like, wow, how it just blows my mind that you could be that young and in college in a town like Bloomington and be that uncool. Like, whoa, mind blown.
Or just that just naive.
Sad.
Or that satisfied by both of them. Neither of them really answered any questions. It was just like,
well, the questions,
it's un-American.
Yeah. Well, right. And that was the big thing. That was one of those that I was really.
Oh.
So building off of that, so Jim is one of the founders of the anti-woke caucus, quote unquote, right?
But he doesn't even know what woke is.
Look, Chris is just shaking his head.
They don't even have an answer for that.
Well, but they don't need one because apparently. It's not about anything. It's a buzzword and they're making good on it. So, you know, the anti-woke caucus, is the new, oh, what was the name of that thing? What is the name of it? Oh, no, it's missing from my head.
It'll come back.
So it's McCarthy's little committee.
Mm-hmm.
And not just McCarthyism. So there was the Red Scare, right?
Right.
And that was, you know, gripping America. And back in, was 1938, they formed the House Committee on...
On American Activities.
There you go.
Yes. Is that what you were thinking of?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Nice.
And so that was, you know, something huge. It was this massive thing. We hear about it in school, you know, and they had all of these hearings. People were blacklisted. People were, which is, you know, canceling in the olden days, right?
Their whole lives were ruined. I mean, they couldn't get jobs or anything after that.
Oh,
they were labeled communists for various reasons that had nothing to do with communism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people carried that into the popular culture, right? So this was not just something that happened in Congress. Is he here?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go get him.
Okay.
continue talking about, you lived through it.
Wow. Okay, well.
Well,
wow.
You know, just for that, I'm not talking to her ever again.
Right.
No, but I think where she was going with this is it's a parallel now, perhaps. Mm. Right? Like a witch hunt. And it was during this period that I know, Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible about the actual witch hunts in the 1600s. That's what was happening. And, it certainly is what is happening now. You know, there's just a lot of fear mongering over dumb stuff. It's not even really a problem.
Right. You know? Right. But they're just beating that drum.
Yeah. So that they can create a problem and this seem like they are taking care of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're good American people and they're protecting you. From
problem. Yeah.
Am I right about where you were going with this, maybe?
I don't know. I wasn't in here. Hello, everybody.
I don't know. Who are you?
Bryce, thank you for coming. And please give yourself like a little introduction so the people get a good idea and feel for who you are.
All right. Thanks for having me. I've been a huge fan of WFHB for quite a while, so it's great to be in here for the first time.
Nice. Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome, Bryce.
So I am Bryce Green. I am a graduate student at Indiana University, a second-year PhD in informatics. I also do work with the Palestine Solidarity Committee. It's a group I helped found as an undergrad back in 2018, those ancient days. And I'm also a member of the Graduate Workers Coalition, who are currently collecting strike pledges to go potentially on strike next week.
Wow. So,
lots of stuff going on in the world and here in Bloomington and on campus. So lots to talk about. Lots of crazy stuff. So
lots of un-American things, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Un-American things like protesting.
Oh, yeah.
Having a democracy.
Right.
I just can't believe that people think it's okay to say that America's not the greatest country in the world.
I watched the video. You were the one that mentioned, you talked about that on the video, right?
Yeah.
In the room with them. Great. You had great things to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't think, I don't know what the listeners have had the context of hearing, but I didn't think that my simple question of like asking, Haya, how do you define woke? I didn't think that I was going to be a gotcha. No. I thought that she had a definition and then I was going to address it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think. Well, there was an incident. It was on the internet show Rising a few weeks ago where another anti-woke lady, Bethany Mandel, she was asked by the host Breonna Joy Gray Like in the middle of a segment, she's like, okay, well, how do you define wokeness? And she was like, well, I guess this is one of those moments that's going to go viral.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, that was her. Yeah. And I would have thought that after that all these people would have had a summit and they would have gotten together and been like, okay, guys, we can't let this happen again. We need another definition. We need a set definition that we can use, that we can bust out when people ask us. Apparently, Haya was not at that meeting, so she fumbled the bag.
No, she was not. And I've seen her, though, be asked that before on television. She always kind of just fumbles and is like, well, you know, it's really un-American, I think. And then she's like playing with her. I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost like she doesn't know what she's talking about.
But it's almost like she wants people to think she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Is that part of a strategy?
Is it relatability for her viewers or supporters and that none of them know what woke means?
I mean, the way it played for me was just that, it was a ridiculous gotcha moment. And she fumbled around and then looked at Banks and was like, well, how would you describe it? And just passed it off to him.
That's exactly what she did.
I think you're giving her too much credit. I mean, just from the way that she was responding, she didn't have it on her phone. She was constantly looking at her phone for the notes. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she really is able to formulate an answer to that. Any kind of just real in-depth answer, because there is none according to their ideology.
But do you remember part of it is that do you remember when Banks was like, oh, you know, it's so important to me that people be critical thinkers and that we provide that in our schools. And the whole time he's saying that, for me, there was just this extreme disconnect.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously for all of you as well. But for the people who are hearing that and going, yeah, and then also beating the drum of, you know, being woke as anti-American and all of that.
And it's anti-Semitic,
right?
Too, which that's so weird.
Everything at this point is anti-Semitic nowadays. I feel like it's starting to get to a point where we don't even know where the lines are for what anti-Semitism is anymore.
Yeah.
I guess if you just sneeze the wrong way and it makes a wrong sound, it's anti-Semitic. So it's like we need to start coming up with better lines of what is anti-Semitic and what's not anti-Semitic. I mean, I wasn't anti-Semitic for some people in the city council meeting to scream Hail Hitler. But I guess maybe the mayor didn't take that as a great thing as well.
I wonder if the ADL put that in their list of anti-Semitic incidents for Bloomington, Indiana. They certainly put our pro-Palestine protests on that list.
Yeah.
But I think that we make a mistake and we give them a little bit too much credit when we're asking for logic or coherence in some of the ideas that they use. When Jim Banks said that wokeism is anti-Americanism, they basically just gave the game away. It's whatever you want.
Right.
And then asking for like a more coherent definition, like I asked, is Al-Qaeda woke? He's like, he said, is anti-American? Yeah. He said, I said, Al-Qaeda attacks American lives. Like, is Al-Qaeda woke? And he was like, well, maybe in some ways. I'm like, okay, well, like it's not coherent. Like it's not. You're not going to score any points with their followers by pointing out the hypocrisy or the logical inconsistencies, because they're not there for logical consistency. They're not there for things to make sense. They're there for an emotional reaction to what they perceive to be a change in their the dominant norms of society.
And that's just it. And before you came in, we were just talking about how this seems to be it's a rehash of the McCarthy era. The Red Scare, the Lavender Scare, and everything that was socialist, and they tried that for a bit, you know, and so now it's just woke. And woke is socialist, and it's all of these buzzwords that harken back to the Cold War and these fears, these primal fears that Americans have, the older Americans have. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm old. I don't think the younger generation really harbors those same values. Mm. I mean, I'm asking somebody who's, you know, organizing a strike and that's all socialism and everything. But, you know.
But that crew of kids that were there. you know, that I said the uncoolest college kids I ever did see.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the college Republicans. So they form that group so that all the uncool kids can hang out together and leave the rest of us alone. It's kind of like the Kilroys of college groups.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That's okay. I never went to Kilroy, so I don't actually know what you're talking
about. It was an RSVP event. Did they not expect you to be there?
Oh, I don't think. I mean, I think they were expecting, I guess, some retaliation, of course, but I don't think they expected us to even be in the room because they were fighting us hard so that we would not get into that room.
And they kicked somebody out, right?
A couple people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting story. Like the way, you know, it was an RSVP event and you had these smug Republican guys like, looking at some of the pro-Palestine protesters or anti-banks, anti-libs of TikTok protesters, just smugly being like, you're not getting in here. Some of them were like, you know, you have to let us in here, you know, school of free speech. They're like, no. But what happened, what changed was when the congressman came in, mm-hmm. one of his staff members said, okay, you guys are allowed to come in as long as you guys promise to be respectful. Knowing full well that some of the people coming in here, like, you know, they had choice words for the congressman and for Haya. And so, I mean, on some level, I assume that he expected, you know, people to be escorted out, people to scream and heckle and yell. And, you know, it that helps them for their audience. Like, they get to say that, yes, oh, look at me, yes, I'm being censored by these woke college kids.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, I'm a little bit embarrassed for, like, you know, giving this a bit more of a platform. Like, you know, I have like a video of it and like a viral tweet. You know, I was interviewed by some like, you know, internet publications or whatever. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, it's funny. Like she's dumb. Like, but don't give her what she wants. Like she's getting rich off of this. She's getting every time that she for makes an ass of herself. Oh, she makes, herself look dumb.
That's just a donkey, right?
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
But every time she does that, like the money pours in because they get to spin it. Like Elon Musk was like looking at this stuff and he was like talking about it, and some right wing influencers, they were like some guy named James Lindsay. I don't know if you know the name.
I do.
Yeah. I had never heard of him, but he like tweeted at me. He was like, oh, ask this to me, Bryce, I dare you. And then I asked him, and he gave me, like, a paragraph answer. And then he, like, called me a mean name. I was like, well, I mean, I never said that there could never possibly be a definition of woke. Like, that, I don't think his makes sense. But, like, it's better than Haya's, which was my main point.
But woke has been around for nearly a century as a term out in, you know, the public, right? So, I mean, it does have a history. It has a meaning. It has depth, and it's been kind of repurposed and added on to over the past decade or so.
I would say hijacked.
Hijacked, yeah.
I would say definitely during. I would say it's further more than McCarthyism. I think it's just still under the Trumpism kind of feel because McCarthy never really had the power to be able to do it. It was only Trump who gave him the power because he had talking points to go off because of Trump.
Right.
McCarthy doesn't really come up with the stuff himself. I mean,
McCarthy's the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
McCarthy is the one is the strings for Trump's games.
And no. McCarthy was back in the 50s.
Oh, 50s.
Yeah, sorry.
I was thinking of different McCarthy.
McCarthy. That McCarthy.
That McCarthy.
Sorry.
Even that McCarthy.
Too many
still.
McCarthys, yeah.
Yeah.
Just that to give it, sorry.
Former House Speaker.
Jeez, it's so complicated with these dynastic things. No, it's not a dynasty, but it's names. Well, I mean, we've got Kennedys who are all over the place still too.
You know, we were about to do a Bush Clinton. People were that almost happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, this point of McCarthyism is, I think, an interesting one because there seem to be a lot of different levels of McCarthyism throughout our current society now, coming from different angles, but all with the same general us versus them angle, like paranoid angle. Yes. I mean, you saw it with the. Well, first, of course, with the political correctness, anti-woke stuff, like they're all just like, you know, y'all, you're anti-American. But on another hand, you also have people, some on the Democratic side, who when there were people who disagreed with their political points, they would just call them Russians.
Right. You know,
they would call them Russian assets, Russian trolls.
Oh,
there was this whole theory that Vladimir Putin personally changed the vote totals in 2016 to get Trump elected. at one point, like many Democrats believe that, like that was insane.
Yeah.
And now it shifted to China. So now it's like, oh, well, it's a Chinese TikTok is like changing the kids' brains. And, if you believe something different on the internet, then you're just a Chinese bot.
Oh,
I mean, there are all these mechanisms.
Even if you're not from Chinese, working for the Chinese.
Oh, yeah. Precisely. Oh, I mean, they tried to smear the activist group Code Pink as a Chinese front and the People's Forum in New York City as a Chinese front. But all these strains of McCarthyism, they seem to be aimed at preserving a status quo that works for the ultra wealthy and the oligarchs who run the country.
And truly, it goes back all the way. I mean, I'm not sure how far back because we don't have writing that goes back that far. But these sorts of us versus them, you know, the tribalism, I don't even know because I can't fathom that sort of mindset where you have to establish somebody as an enemy so that you gather your people around so you can gain power and influence.
Yeah. Well, it's also misdirecting people from the real sources of their discontent.
Absolutely.
Our own people, like America is America's worst enemy.
Right.
Our own people sold us out since the Reagan years, since before then, but especially since the Reagan years. The same policies have been going on through Clinton, through Bush, through Obama, through Trump, through Biden. The same policies of dismantling the working class, expanding the influence of corporatocracy. Like, that's the real problem. That's why it costs so much to go to a fast food restaurant. That's why it costs so much for healthcare. But if you say that, well, you know, China is actually the enemy because they're stealing our jobs. Russia's actually the enemy because, they're authoritarian. Or whoever is the enemy, brown people are the enemy. It's the woke people who are the enemy. All of that prevents people from looking at the actual.
It's actually drag queens.
Yeah.
Like, why don't they see that? It's drag queens are the enemy.
Right.
Right.
It keeps you in that victim place.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it keeps you, launching your pitchforks at the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I keep saying, like, no woke person ever, like, cut my work hours. Vladimir Putin didn't make someone go bankrupt because of healthcare. Like, it's all misdirecting people and people like Haya and of course Jim Banks is a politician, but they that's their bag. They make their bag off of misdirecting, misleading people and filling people with a false sense of I'm doing something.
And occupying people who actually would like to create positive change and work toward some sort of, you know, better future for us all, occupying us fighting this nonsense.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, here we are.
Sit back and enjoy like that, you know, that they, you know, sort of concierged that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the liberal tiers ideology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they get to, just because they made someone upset and energetic, like, that's all they need. It doesn't need to be factual. It doesn't need to actually tell somebody about the world they live in or inform them about the issues that they're facing. It just made someone upset.
Mm-hmm.
And that generates money. And a lot of that, I mean, that's been a thing for, you know, decades, but it's been increasingly become a problem because the algorithms that drive the platforms that we spend our lives on, we're incentivized. It incentivizes people to be outrageous, bombastic, and doesn't incentivize the useful thoughtfulness. So we got big problems. Mm-hmm. We're talking about banning TikTok. Nice. I say ban it all. Hot take.
Well, yeah. So here, you know, okay. So I'm listening, you know, that whole like scene that you just painted, and I'm thinking, if I have someone who is acting like that, behaving that way, a personal individual in my life, they're not in my life for very long because there's so much crazy making and dysfunction. Uh-huh. Or if they're in my life, I'm trying to help them get help because what I'm hearing is someone who's would be behaving in a very mentally ill, sick, dysfunctional way.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's exactly what they're saying about all of us, right? I mean, they're placing that sort of, no, you people are right for being like completely, anti not intellect, but yeah, intellectual, anti-truth, anti-evidence, anti-science. You're rational for that. Mm-hmm. That's great. But all of these people, they're the ones who are mentally ill. We see those with the LGBTQ community all the time. We are considered to be the ones who have the mental illness. Why would you want a mentally ill person who is going to be like in Congress or in charge of the military or whatever? Because, you know, they're obviously not trustworthy because they have something that isn't anything, close to what I'm going to characterize it as. So it's misdirection again.
Yeah. Like the people who are calling people are calling like LGBTQ people mentally ill. They're the people who are like staying up at night worrying about a migrant caravan when they live in Iowa. They're not serious, and it's easy to, you know, especially with mental health being stigmatized, just to say, people are mentally ill. And that's a suitable explanation for a lot of these people because, again, the insular nature of a lot of American media ecosystems and the insular nature of American communities, white rural American communities in general, it means that they never have to confront, whether or not what they say is true or valid because they've never met someone who's like openly trans and their community is structured in such a way that they probably never will. Anyone who is will leave or
exactly.
Or worse. Like it's that's so there's a lot of structural things that go into people's stupidity.
Right. Well, and is it is that stupidity or is that just ignorance?
It's complete both. And I feel like even going back to your point and also tapping back on Bryce's point, like us as young people, I think we, if I could speak for generally for myself as someone who's
your entire generation.
I don't want to speak for all the generation because I don't know if all the generation can agree, but I think what we can all really agree on is that we're tired of seeing the same stuff continuously going on and on and on, and nobody's actually caring to fix it while we have to work harder and harder and harder, and our bodies get broken down over other people getting more richer by what we do. So we're kind of getting annoyed. Well, not kind of, we are getting annoyed by these kinds of things. Our freedoms and our ability to speak out against these things are being strict by older generational people and conservative people, and those things cannot happen anymore. Like if we're gonna have real conversations, you have to be ready to have real conversations with all people from all ages. Mm-hmm. And I think ageism now is a lot more bigger because of the fact that we see conservative members playing with ageism more.
This generational divide between like our generation and then the people in charge, it's really unprecedented in history that these people are able to stay in power for so long in their old age and entrench themselves in a system so much. And it makes it very difficult for young people to even see a way out, to see, okay, well, if I do this, then I can make the political situation in America better. I mean, like, what do we have? We have like a Democratic Party who like pretends to care. But, you know, they don't care about winning or losing because they don't actually have a vision of the world that they want to put forth. And right. Guys, if we win, we get a minimum wage, we get health care, we get to end the military. There's no such vision that exists in the party establishment as a whole. And that goes for the Republicans. I mean, both of them, their ideology is status quo, if not make the status quo worse.
Right.
And so young people, they grow up and they see that. And they say, well, what do I do? Am I going to run for office? And then, I didn't get past the primary because I don't have $2 billion.
Right.
Okay, well, then what next? That's a serious burden on this entire generation where we look at our futures and we genuinely cannot chart a course to a better one. And so that's some of the frustration is a light way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. The disaffection, I mean, like just disconnection. The country has not just divided, but separated. You know, there's a gulf, there's a moat between the youth or, you know, even, you know, our generation, Gen X, there's this like we were waiting to be in charge at some point. And I guess, you know, well, Jim, he's part of my generation. He's a couple of years younger, so I have some more
am I allowed perspective. To ask how old everybody is here?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm 55. You made me
51.
I am 26.
I'm 22 going on 23 this year.
Yay!
I'm a baby.
What?
You didn't say your age.
You haven't said your age. Yeah. Yeah, come on now.
Like, what? That's okay. What?
But, you know, or don't. You know, your choice, really.
No, I'm just 49.
I think all of you have defined everything so well. And that, but I've also seen in my 55 years, this sort of happen all the time.
As the elder.
As the elder who knows more. No, and I'm not saying that at all. Because you actually know a lot more than I do about everything. But I have seen this divide, you know, and I'm just, what do we do? But like, I have thought before, you were talking about our generation, like our generation, we're going to change that. Mm-hmm. We're going to save the day. And guess what?
We didn't.
So
that's the thing.
Yeah.
So how, okay, we don't have a vision for the future. That means that it's hard to chart a course for a place where you're not, don't even know you're going. We need to. How do we get that out there? And you're talking about like smash all social media, right?
That was more tongue in cheek, but yeah, but there's some truth to it.
Back in the early 90s, when the internet was like starting to become a thing and people were
Don't
pick
up the phone.
Right.
It was horrible back then.
Yeah. A lot of us thought, and it was commonly talked about, that this was going to be the thing that connects the world, right? We are going to be able to connect to everyone and hear their points of view and their stories and share. And it would kind of bring us all together in some Star Trekian utopia of connectivity and solidarity.
What? Did we think that, or is that just what we were spoon-fed? I don't know.
I know I didn't think that, but I'll go with you on that. I think that's what we were thinking.
I was idealistic.
I think that I thought that just because someone told me to think that.
Yes.
And
if I'm being honest.
Yeah. The utopianists were like, yeah. Hey, you know what? This is going to be the future. And you're like, oh, that sounds cool.
Or like the evil genius was like, here's the lie I'm going to feed you. And it's like, you know, I mean, it could go either way.
More like I was like, I was hopeful.
Yeah.
Right. Not necessarily like this is the way it's going to be. It was just like this can be.
Like,
you know,
hopeful.
It's
youth?
Everything is whatever you make of it.
Yeah.
You have to make it though. And
well, they made it a prison.
And yes. And they made it something that just sucks people in and doesn't let them go. Mm-hmm. And I see that also with your generation. A lot of them are just kind of connected in, but they're disconnected from each other. I don't know. I think we need a cultural shift, not just mm-hmm. this kind of, let's talk about it. Let's put the information out
right.
there. How do we actually move the culture in this direction? And that's what they're doing mm-hmm. on the right side where they're doing all the woke mm-hmm. stuff. And mm-hmm. that's a cultural shift. That's an intentional push in one direction. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. on that side, the conservatives have the leg up in that way.
Because mm-hmm. they're backed by like just millions and millions of dollars. And
yeah.
Like, I mean, take someone like Christopher Rufo, mm-hmm. who manufactured the critical race theory, mm-hmm. You know, the scare, started doing that a while ago. He was pretty honest about what he was doing. He said, I'm going to take everything I don't like, call it critical race theory. People are going to get so upset because of the racial tensions, mm-hmm. and it's going to be good for Republicans because it's going to get us to win elections. Right. And then the Manhattan Institute, which is a, you know, conservative think tank, just paid him thousands of dollars to go out and do it.
Right.
And he did it, and it worked. People were defenseless.
Yeah.
But we do need to have some sort of alternative, like you said. And I think that people focus on what's new about our world quite a bit. But I think, and, you know, this is just me speaking, but I think that the answers, the solutions, they've been the same thing for the last like 100, 200 years.
Or more.
But
whatever the institution was that was carrying the information, whether it was the church mm-hmm. or whatever,
yes.
they are the ones who set that.
Yeah.
But it's human nature. There was a TV show on PBS, a series by Bill Moyers, and it was The Power of Myth, and had Joseph Campbell, who was the consultant for Star Wars, and he was an English professor, but he studied mythology, and he studied world mythology and compared it. And all the world's myths boil down to just a handful of the same myth with different names in different cultures at different times.
Yep.
And that's because we're the same and we have the same drives and the same fears. And so I think, you know, if we were smart about it, or if somebody was smart about it, maybe not me, obviously not me, then we could direct that for the greater good as opposed to just greed. Because this is, and I'm, you know, I'm going to introduce the C word. This is capitalism. This is whatever is, enriches the powerful. And to get to that Star Trek in future, where obviously we still have enemies. We're just united against them now.
Yeah.
But where we can figure out a way to unite, we have to find that intention.
Yeah.
We have to create that, and we have to do it together. It can't be, you know, we've got the LGBTQ or within the LGB and then the Q and then the T and the LMNOs and all of these different factions saying, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, and I don't want to be a part of that. We really have to figure out a way. And that's what I was trying to get to when, at the end of that thing. And I'm still not able to really say it because I want to be able to give something, right? But in order to do that, we all have to give something. We all have to be able to bring ourselves forward and say, this is us, and this is what we want, and it works together. It's cohesive. Yeah.
The factionalism that you're talking about, again, I think that's always been a problem, especially on the left. But it's been exacerbated again by these algorithmic trends, algorithmic incentive structures that I was talking about earlier, wherein you know that you won't be able to overturn the political system. You know that you're never going to get that level of satisfaction. So you turn to areas where you can get that satisfaction. And oftentimes that means displaying your virtue over someone else's virtue. And, you know, that's how petty fights on the internet get started. And that's how personalities are made. But there's every incentive to continue that. There's every incentive to get those likes, get those engagements, because you are rewarded for that. You are not rewarded for the hard, gritty work that I think that we all need to be engaged in, that work of building institutions and organizations that are able to do something together collectively and being able to join with other institutions or organizations that are doing stuff for the greater good, being able to find your common interests and be able to wield some sort of political power. I mean, like, that's the formula, and that's always been the formula.
Right. Now, that's only question the American way.
But the only question is, how can you do that effectively? How do you avoid the pitfalls of the fact that we are people and all of our glory and all of our disgustingness? And it's difficult to work with people. I mean, that's true sometimes. Yeah. But, I mean, if we don't find a way to do it, well, then we're doomed.
Grace.
Well, does anybody here have hope? But things are going to change, or is it just going to get worse?
I know hope once.
I do have hope. I mean, okay. I do have hope because America's on a path towards, like, you know, like the worst thing, like obliteration, like collapse, internal and external. I mean, I guess this isn't a show about geopolitics, but geopolitically, America isn't, the world has been turning away from the American-centered economic order.
Absolutely. I mean, Bryce, now you look here. This is the best blibbity bleep country in the world. And if you don't agree with that, there's the door, sir.
Congressman, I only want what's best for America. Oh, and honestly, this is true. And this is what I'm getting at. Like, even the oligarchs who run this country, who like to run it into the ground, like, if they don't have a country, they lose a lot of their power.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's becoming a very clear to a lot of people over the last 3 years, especially with the, you know, the break between like the U.S. and Russia that resulted from the Ukraine war. And now the break that's been between the international community and the United States because of what's going on in Gaza. And then you have a whole section of the world called the BRICS bloc. Like all these different countries, including Russia, India, China, Brazil, you know, that makes up a pretty sizable chunk of the world's population. They're talking about how we need to get off the dollar. The U.S. is too unstable. We can't handle that. We can't make a deal with these people. All they want to do is blow up the world and invade and, you know, make things better for their oil companies. We can't do that. Well, if the rest of the world doesn't go along with what the U.S. wants, then the U.S. can't do what it wants.
Right.
And American elites are eventually have to come to that that revelation or that realization, and they're going to have to make a choice. Like, are we going to be a normal country? Are we going to give our people a normal way of life? Are we going to stop trying to impose our will on the world and oppress people? They're going to have to make that choice.
Yeah.
And I hope that they will make the right one. And I hope that we will be able to build those institutions that can push them in the right direction.
Before we get blown up.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, final thoughts.
I thank you for bringing up the C word.
Yeah.
Because that was on my brain and this sort of, you know, this late stage capitalism stuff. And I wanted to talk about that. And then, what was it? Something that you just said.
I don't know. I said a lot.
He said a lot.
Professional yapper.
Right on.
Move on. If I think of it, I'll say it.
It was so great to have all of you here. Will you come back?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How quick does an hour go?
It just goes.
Yeah. I know.
It's unbelievable.
The heck?
When we have guests, we really need, we need a couple hours or 30. And maybe that we'll talk about that later. Anyway,
wow.
Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for this discussion. It's definitely just the beginning. It's always just the beginning, but
can we do group therapy?
I'm excited
off
and
air?
Actually, I kind of have hope. I thank you guys for like this hope that the youth and the active, you know, the people who really, really see the world and go, oh, that's some BS. We need to make change.
Yeah.
Are bringing to the table.
I mean, that describes my feeling perfectly. I mean, I would like nothing more than to just like sit at home and play video games and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you turn and you look at the world and you're like, well, that can't stand. Can't do that. That's not
awesome.
In my name.
We need more people like you. For sure. Blooming Out is a production of WFHB Community Radio. And is produced by Melanie Davis and Cade Young. For our engineer is Alyssa Gray.
Hi.
For Blooming Out and WFHB, I'm Justin Robertson.
I'm Melanie Davis. Be well, stay safe, speak truth, manifest equity, demand justice, make good trouble, love one another, take the power back, and good night from your Blooming Out family.